Those are the superheroes of the world. I mean, medicine, you know, advancing is always good, not only for athletes, but for, you know, the whole human population. So as long as that advances, I think it's nice to have guys out there like myself and, you know, the hockey player you were describing to just show guys another option, another way, and just open doors, you know, for more people along the road.
Welcome back to the Mullen Haw Show. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully today. That was the voice of Lonzo Ball talking about his return from knee cartilage replacement surgery. And Lonzo Ball is in the news, or his name has been mentioned, because Gabriel Landeskog has something in common with him. Gabriel Landeskog is a Colorado Avalanche forward who scored his first goal in 1,032 days on Saturday night in Game 4 of the NHL playoffs against the Dallas Stars. And that brings us to our next guest, who joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Dr. Brian Cole is from the Midwest Orthopedics at Rush. He's a professor of sports medicine and a noted orthopedic surgeon, the team physician for the Chicago Bulls, who performed surgeries on both professional athletes. Groundbreaking stuff. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, this is a remarkable story in both cases. I think the marvel in Chicago when Lonzo Ball returned, and the same reaction had to be there Thursday night last week in Denver when Gabe Landeskog returned to the ice. His recovery, his path back was just nothing short of remarkable. You were there, and you obviously were here for the Lonzo Ball recovery, and you did both surgeries. How do you feel when you see the results of your work and these comebacks by these two superior athletes? What goes through your mind when you watch this unfold?
Well, it's, you know, in both instances, it was sort of a long time in coming, and there's a lot of variables that go into it in getting an individual like this back to sport. And it's, in some ways, I only play a very small part given the team approach in terms of all the others who sort of weigh in and factor in and helping to get back. But it was actually pretty amazing in both instances. And I think mainly because there's a personal connection that I've sort of acquired over the last couple of years for both of these individuals, and they're in their own unique individual way. They're pretty spectacular people, and it feels, you know, it's a very close personal thing. It's not as much a clinical outcome as much as it is seeing an individual achieve something they've been looking to for such an extended period of time, and then sort of witnessing it, and then being part of it and sharing in the joy of, you know, really getting back and being able to do it and do it successfully and do it with high athleticism. I mean, that seeing that unfold directly was nothing short of amazing for me when I think back to all the things in my own personal career, but being part of that process.
Dr. Cole, it's great to talk to you. I personally, I'm the daughter of a surgeon. I'm not claiming to be an expert, but I like to think that I have some sort of medical, you know, knowledge, more so maybe than other people who aren't related to a surgeon. But I always say to my dad, I always say, can you explain to me that surgery like I'm five? So I'm going to ask you the same thing. Can you explain this procedure? I think it's important for people to understand what exactly you do.
Yeah. So from the surgical perspective, these are individuals who have lost or have damaged cartilage. So there's, you know, sort of simplifying it, there are two kinds of cartilage in the knee. There's the articular cartilage, that's the white, shiny cartilage that provides a slippery surface that when that gets eroded or degenerates, that's what arthritis is. And that can be in a small area or a very large area. And when it goes unchecked, the only solution is replacing it with metal and plastic, a knee replacement or hip replacement or other joint. The other kind of cartilage is the meniscus cartilage, which is the soft cartilage that helps provide a cushion between the ends of the bones. And when that's missing, that in and of itself can cause pain, less common. But when it's associated with arthritis, which is loss of the other cartilage, it can cause pain and disability. So what we do is we use human tissue to replace it. So both types of tissue are available in the same individuals who donate their heart, liver, lungs. They also donate cartilage, whether it's the meniscus or the hard cartilage, and we literally replace it with someone else's tissue.
Talking with Dr. Brian Cole from the Midwest Orthopedics at Rush, the surgeon who did both surgeries on Lonzo Ball and Gabriel Landeskog of the Colorado Avalanche, and both players returned to action after being out for, in Landeskog's case, his 3 years. It was between stints on the ice. And Brian, I just wonder if you could talk about how related And how aware was one of the other's progress? And how did that relationship develop between the two? And did you, as somebody who was maybe the go-between, use one of the athletes' example to encourage or compare to the others?
I think that they're both really heady, thoughtful individuals and super committed. And it was not uncommon to say, hey, how is Gabe doing? How is Lonzo doing? And it was also, very visible in the media how guys were progressing because there would be vignettes shared in terms of their progress. Both were pretty open about that. So I think it was useful for each of them to see their progress, and they weren't really that far off one another in the scheme of things. It was helpful, and I don't know if they spoke directly, but I do know that the conversation came up frequently, and even at an organizational level, because when you've got such an infrequent, uncommon occurrence, you have to borrow from something. It's not like I can tell you from experience that we've had hundreds of individuals like this. This is while the procedure itself is relatively common in active people of any level of athleticism, it's not common at this level just because there's so many other variables that prevent it from actually, potentially working. So I would say that in this instance, it was important for them to sort of have some knowledge of each other's progress.
What was it like for you to watch Lonzo meet the family of the donor?
Yeah, there's a lot of firsts, to be honest, in both these cases, and that was pretty amazing. There were so many twists and turns, and there was 9 degrees of separation here. With the donor family, I had peripherally known that the father, going all the way back to 1999 of the donor,
wow.
It was Alex was the 20. He's a 20-year-old who had committed suicide. He was the son of an individual who I actually knew peripherally, going all the way back to 1999. Ironically, he too was actually a professional athlete. And I peripherally had consulted on his repair, and he actually had a cartilage transplant. Fast forward 20 years later, he ends up working in that same industry, and then we met serendipitously through this whole encounter. And the whole family came in, it was a pregame encounter, and Lonzo was incredibly gracious, as he always is. And you could just see the appreciation and the thoughtfulness on both sides, to be quite frank. And it was really to have full circle between the donor family, the individual who, myself, who actually had the privilege of handling the tissue and, putting it in someone's knee, and then having them meet him. And he simply basically said, look, you gave me my career back. And it was an incredibly touching moment that I think also provided a healing experience for the family. That was one of the most special things I've had in the last 25 years of my career.
Brian, we in the media can be prone to hyperbole and use words like remarkable and amazing, and look at two professional athletes who were able to navigate this road back to the ice or to the basketball floor as Landis Cogg and Lonzo Ball did. And I just wonder, from your perspective, you mentioned and we all know you have been a familiar face and voice and around the Chicago sports scene for a very long time. How would you describe it to somebody? How rare has this been in your own career? Because you have been exposed to so many different types of recoveries and rehabilitations and surgeries. But why, if this one stands out, does it stand out?
Well, as I sort of alluded to, the procedure is, I guess, rare but not uncommon. And in terms of our world of individuals, we're looking for solutions that really previously weren't available. In other words, the use of human tissue to restore, problems that cause pain and dysfunction, right? So the challenge is, though, when you move it up the scale to an elite athlete where the physiologic loads are so intense, and both of those sports are intense. You can't take either one of those for granted in terms of what's required. It's not you don't go into this with the expectations that it's definitely going to work. In fact, obviously, there's no guarantees in any of the things that we do. But what's unique here is that it has to have an athlete who says that if I don't do this, I otherwise can't play. This isn't for someone who says, look, I'm training for a marathon. I run 3:30, but I'm trying to run 3 hours and 10 minutes, and I always get pain at 3 hours and 11 minutes, so give me new cartilage. The margin of improvements are not that granular. So you have to be in a situation where there is no other option. And what was the terminology we say, it was kind of a Hail Mary. In that respect, it's just that when there's a paucity of any other solution and the individual has sufficient pain and dysfunction, everything else has been tried to get them back. That's what this solution is. So for people to think, well, maybe this is for me, and I have bone-on-bone arthritis, and I just don't want to have a replacement, it's not likely to be a remedy for that situation. This is a very unique situation that was slotted or sort of thread the needle in terms of the ability to achieve a successful outcome. But it's not always about surgery. It's about the sort of, as I alluded to when we started our discussion, it's about the team in place and having the sort of a multidisciplinary approach to getting an athlete back, which is not something that everyone has. So there's so many variables here that relate to a successful outcome that I would not be able to say you can generalize to every individual with this type of problem. There's some things we probably even haven't even identified that we just don't control. But in this instance, for the time being, we've had a very fortunate outcome for both of these gentlemen.
Is one sport harder than the other to come back to? I mean, the assumption might be some people would think, well, hockey's much harder because of the way you skate and the strain that is on the knee. But other people might say, well, hey, if you ever watch an NBA basketball game, which sport do you think is more difficult?
Yeah, again, I guess this goes, you know, I can't, this is not as linear as you might think. It depends. It's going to depend. They are both brutal sports. Mm-hmm. That much you and I know, right?
Yep.
Like they call upon different sort of degrees of athletic capability, but they're both incredibly intense and with huge physiological loads and prolonged activity. So I would say that that in Lonzo's case, you've got long, prolonged bursts, jumping, cutting, pivoting, things of that nature. In a skater, you've got a different situation with incredible athleticism where you have short stops, a lot of side to side. You're obviously not getting the jumping and so forth, but the physiologic loads are enormous. So they're both really challenging sports, which makes this remarkable, I think, even in and of itself. But it probably depends on the individual as well.
We've got a minute left, Brian. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you think is important to know as you discuss and look back at the work that you've done and the paths that they have followed to get back onto the court in Lonzo Ball's case and the ice in Gabe Landeskog's case?
Yeah, no, I would just say in this instance, I feel really privileged to be part of it, but it wasn't just me. As I mentioned, there's a lot of people involved in making this happen. And tissue donation is a space that people are not that familiar with, and it speaks to how important it is. People are knowledgeable about heart, liver, lungs, and things of that nature, but the gift of life also is a gift of hope for people like this to give something to them that they otherwise couldn't get. And from my perspective, I would say that because I had so much constant contact with both individuals, one of the greatest privileges was really getting to know these people during the recovery process. And what I learned, I would be able to generalize, and I can generalize, to just everyday people like you and me who just don't want to have pain and want to get back to sports and just be active. So this is, you know, for me, I feel very, very fortunate to have played a part of the process. But, you know, honestly, never take any of this for granted. There's a little bit of luck, and there's a lot of things we don't control that lead to these kinds of outcomes.
Thanks so much for your time and sharing the story.
Thank you, Dr. Cole.
Have a great day.
Dr. Brian Cole from Midwest Orthopedics at Rush, the professor of sports medicine and noted orthopedic surgeon, talking about the work he did, the surgeries, the knee cartilage replacement surgeries on Lonzo Ball and Gabriel Landeskog.